All right. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. My name is Joel Wells. For those of you who are visiting with us today, I'm the lead pastor here, and great to have you with us this morning. Last Sunday was the final Sunday of our Become New campaign, which we've been doing for the last number of weeks, and I think it was a fantastic campaign. Personally, I think it might have been one of our best ones. And I believe that God really did some real deep things in our lives through that whole time. But with spring just around the corner, we are also entering another very important season for us as a church. We're 5 weeks away from our 19th annual Global Impact Celebration Sunday. And so today is officially the start of global impact season for us as a church. After spending 7 weeks talking about personal growth, we want to really focus now on these next number of weeks on the mission that God has called us to as believers and as a church. The theme of our upcoming GIC is One Name. And we're going to spend, as I said, these next few Sundays looking at various aspects of this theme, which is based on Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." It's Jesus that inspires the mission that we are seeking to fulfill. And so today I want to kick everything off by just sharing with you the vision that we have for global impact. I want to explain to you this morning why it's the heartbeat of our church and give you just some of the nuts and bolts of how it all works. For those of you who've come to our church in the last year, you probably know very little about global impact other than you hear it mentioned from time to time, or perhaps you've seen the wall of our partners as you exit the gym. For those who've been around for a while, it's always good to be reminded of why we do what we do. And I have some new things that I want to share with you this morning as well. If you're visiting today, I think you can still be encouraged by what I have to share with you, by what you hear. And I believe that God wants to inspire you as well to be a person who is engaged in the mission of Jesus. I want to begin by just taking you back to how global impact all started in our church. I want to take you back to the 90s. During the 90s, we went through a time as a church that we would call a time of renewal. A time of a significant outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For several years, I can remember that there would be many Sundays where messages were not even preached from the pulpit. Remember several times my father going up onto the stage to preach to you and being so overcome by the presence of God that was unable to do it. And many times the altar was full of people just on their faces crying out to God. God was healing people's hearts. God was bringing a greater revelation of who he was and who we were to him. It was a real intimate time with the Father in heaven. It was a sovereign visitation from God, and there were many other churches that were experiencing it as well. It was the time in my life where I personally encountered the presence of God in such a profound way that it has changed the entire course of my life. But as people were experiencing the presence of God so intimately, something began to happen. He began to stir within our hearts that which is closest to his heart, which is the souls of men and women. It reminds me of this very familiar passage in the book of Isaiah in chapter 6, which is the story of how Isaiah the prophet was commissioned. And he writes these words. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord God Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for." And then Isaiah says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" I've always been struck in reading this passage that what Isaiah heard in the presence of God was actually not addressed to him personally. He didn't hear God say to him, "Isaiah, Isaiah, will you go for me?" What he heard was just a cry that rings from the heart of God constantly. It's a cry for workers, a cry for messengers, a cry for someone to go into the world and preach the good news of the gospel. I believe that you cannot truly encounter the presence of God and not hear that cry. And so when Isaiah hears it, his immediate response is, "Lord, here I am, send me." And God's immediate reply to him was, "Go!" As we were experiencing the wonderful presence of God, I believe that we started to hear that cry. There were others who needed to know him. Others who needed to experience his presence and his touch and his love the way we were experiencing it. And our passion as a church to share the good news began to grow. And with that, doors of opportunity began to open in various nations of the world. We sent out short-term missions teams to different places. We launched a whole Bible school to help train and send people. And in that time, prophetic words started to come to us as a church that God was calling us into the nations, and that if we would go to the nations, he would bring the nations to us. We were a very white church in those days. In fact, one man came to our church and prophesied to us at that time that God was changing the name of our church. That we weren't going to be Harvest City, but we were going to be Harvest Nations. You can look around this morning and see that God has fulfilled that word. We have people from many different countries that are now in our church and a part of us. God has brought the nations to us. People in our church at that time were getting mobilized and getting involved in our city as well. And we had good news and bad news. The good news was that everybody was passionate about what they were doing and wanted time on a Sunday morning to share their passion with you. And we didn't have the time or the resources to respond to every call that came or open the pulpit for everybody that wanted to share about their ministry. And so we realized we need a strategy for doing the mission of Jesus more effectively. And somehow we learned at that time of an organization that was helping churches develop a template for missions. We learned of a church in North Carolina that held an annual global impact celebration. It was part of their overall strategy. We were hearing it was having profound results. And so we sent a couple down to check it out and report back. Interestingly, they shared what they experienced at one of our elders' retreats, which was the very first elders' retreat that my wife Angela and I were ever a part of. And after hearing their rave reviews, At the retreat, we began to ask many questions and we began to debate back and forth as a team all day, actually, about whether we should go ahead and whether we should adopt a similar strategy. It was something so radical, it seemed to us, because we were contemplating spending $20,000, I believe it was, to hire a consultant who would come in and work with our church personally for several years, who would help us develop our own personal approach. It seemed like a lot of money. What if it didn't work? What if the church didn't buy into the vision? And so we were going back and forth all day. And finally, my dad says to us, my dad was the pastor of the church at the time, and he said to us, instead of talking more about it, maybe we need to spend some time in worship and prayer. So let's reconvene after supper and worship and pray and see if the Lord will speak to us clearly. It wasn't long before, after beginning to worship, that the presence of God just filled the room. Several began to weep. I was one of them, surprisingly, I know. Various people begin to stand up and just prophesy. But what they sensed God was saying, it was a profound night in the history of this church, I tell you. And there was no doubt in any one of us that God had clearly spoken. Discussion over. Consultant hired. And as we rolled out the vision to you as a church, it took some time to catch it. But by the time the first celebration started, we had chosen partners, we had developed a strategy, and there was a sense of anticipation for what was to come. We had no idea at the time how much this strategy was going to reshape us as a church. Through global impact, God began to expand our vision for our own city, for our own nation, and for the nations of the world. He sovereignly linked us with partners who would have a profound effect on us, and many in this church have been inspired to live their own call as a result. And we have found great purpose and great joy as a church in knowing that we are also helping others to live their call. Through strategic partnerships, God has allowed Harvest City Church to have a significant impact in many nations around the world. And we've been able to keep the main thing the main thing. I've said to you many times from this pulpit, if you are attending this church and you feel comfortable just coming and sitting and consuming, I'm doing it wrong as your pastor. There is a cry that echoes across the heavens. Who will go for me? And as a church and as individuals, we must respond to that call. As Isaiah received and responded to that commission, God has commissioned all of us. You know, many times I think we have this idea that God created his church and then he's like, I need something for them to do. I'll send them into the world. That's what I'll do. And that's not true at all. Right from the beginning of time, when man sinned against God and became a slave to the devil, God has been on a rescue mission. I've quoted this verse many times. In 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's been his mission since the beginning. He said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. If you are feeling captive this morning, if you are feeling oppressed, if you are feeling under the grips of sin and under the grips of the devil, I tell you the good news of the gospel is that Jesus has come to rescue you. You have always been his mission. You have always been his passion. You have always been his first love.
And if you get in the presence of God and you get close to the heartbeat of God, you will hear that heartbeat. You will hear that cry and that call. In order to fulfill the mission, God created the church. The church is God's plan to reach the world. Any church who is not actively reaching has lost sight of their purpose. And this is why I say that the global impact season is the most important season for us as a church. The celebration is the most important weekend on our church calendar. Why? Because it's the time when we are called by the Holy Spirit, drawn back as a church to our primary purpose and call. It's a time where God brings us back to his heartbeat. And we always need to be reminded of what it's all about. Let me give you just a brief overview of what happens at the Global Impact Celebration. Why it's so important to make it a priority. Number one, it's a time of inspiration and impartation. Through all the meetings, the messages, the testimonies, the personal interactions, I believe you'll be inspired by the Holy Spirit to do the work of the ministry. But it goes even deeper than inspiration. There is an impartation that comes by the Holy Spirit, where he not only inspires you, but he equips you. That's always one of our main focuses of prayer leading up to the event. We're not just looking to have another celebration. We're looking for a deep work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Number two, it's a time of encouragement to our partners. We try to bring in as many of our partners as we can, and over the course of the weekend, we do our best as a church to just pour into them. It's a true partnership. Not only do we receive from them, but we also give to them. We bless them personally with gifts. We prophesy over them. We have times of prayer and encouragement for them. These partners are laying down their lives for the gospel, and that takes its toll. And so we want to strengthen them. And one of the most powerful ways we do that is by showing them our whole church is behind you. Our whole church is supporting you. When you take the time to attend, to talk to them, to pray with them, to tell them how much they mean to you, I tell you what happens. You just pour gas on their fire. You replenish their tanks. Our partners tell us over and over and over that the Global Impact Celebration is one of the most powerful weekends for them personally. Every time they come. Number three, it's a time of celebration. We don't call this the Global Impact Conference. It's not a conference. It's a celebration. And so during the weekend, we celebrate what God has done. There's a lot of joy over the weekend. So much of the weekend is about testimonies and updates. It's sharing stories and rejoicing together. A joy shared is a joy multiplied. And there's so much of that over the weekend. The Friday night always is a powerful time with of celebration as we kick it off with our flag procession of nations. And just seeing all the nations we've been involved in over the years is amazing. Saturday night is a fun dessert night with many great updates. During the morning on Saturday, there's an opportunity to hear from specific partners in different rooms around the building. Always a real intimate powerful time. There's events for the kids as well, because we want to give them a heart for the world. Number four, it's a time of giving. The GIC culminates on Sunday morning with one massive service. We bring both of our congregations together into one big service in the gym here, and we take up a gigantic offering. There's no ministry without money. And one of the major aspects of the weekend is that we raise significant funds that we release to our partners to support their ministry. I remember that first year we set this ambitious goal. Can we believe God for $75,000? That seemed radical faith. thought this was a big stretch, and we discovered that God was indeed with us when we raised $150,000 that very first offering. I can tell you, I called our accounting staff this week, said, how much have we raised in the last 18 years? And I was told roughly $5.1 million has been raised and given to our partners in the last 18 years. Our goal this year is to raise $300,000 or more. We'll explain more in the coming weeks how we collect that offering. The budget for the year, saying how is it determined? It's determined by our Global Impact Leadership Committee and the elders of the church. It's based upon need, and it's based upon where we feel the Lord is leading us. The leadership team makes the recommendation, the elders weigh in, and the final approval is given. As the money comes in over the course of the year, we release it based on needs and timing. For those of you who are wondering, our Global Impact Leadership Team is led now by Anatoly Bile, who is on our mission, who's our missions pastor, one of our elders. Jenny Kachaluba specifically oversees the Global Impact Celebration with Janelle Ludwig. And the leadership team is largely responsible for the administration of the various aspects of the Global Impact Ministry. Number five, the celebration is a time of volunteering. In order to pull off a weekend of this magnitude, we need all hands on deck. Nothing is insignificant, church, because it all helps in making the weekend successful. It all works towards the final goal. And over the years, many new people have found this weekend as a great time to begin serving in the church. It's a great time to even meet other people in the process. We have more than 250 volunteer opportunities to serve in. Everything from baking to flag carriers to set up and take downers and many other areas. And you can sign up on the Church Center app, or you can go to the window. They'll help you sign up as well. The sooner the better, Jenny tells me. I want to talk a little bit now about how our partners are chosen. Back in the early 2000s, as we started going to the nations and the doors started opening, we realized we needed some criteria to guide who we partnered with. We couldn't do it all. In fact, we were a little bit frustrated as we were sort of going here, there, and everywhere, having a little impact in places, but looking for greater impact. And so one of the hardest parts was is that we knew we were going to have to say no to a lot of good things so we could have a significant impact with those we felt God was calling us to say yes to. By narrowing our focus, we could increase our effectiveness and through that actually develop true partnerships. One of the first things we decided to do was to follow the strategy that Jesus gave his disciples in Acts chapter 1. He said to them in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Essentially, Jesus was telling them to start in their own city, then in their region or nation, and then go to the rest of the world. We believe that it's healthy and essential for our church to have a global vision. Therefore, we want to work in all three spheres, locally, nationally, and internationally. And so in choosing partners, we've always asked God who he was leading us to in those three areas. Some people feel more stirred for local things. That's your passion. Some feel more stirred internationally. But we appreciate and we have vision for them all. We see ourselves as part of a global movement. Another criterion in choosing partners is that we primarily look for people who we have relationship with or who we feel God is bringing us into relationship with. Our elders are the ones who ultimately choose who our partners will be. Suggestions are given from time to time by various people. But in the choosing, we have always tried to be led by the Holy Spirit. We were led by the Holy Spirit to start the Global Impact Ministry, and we've endeavored to hear God's voice clearly in the choosing of our partners as well. Oftentimes, that clarity has come as we see God uniquely opening doors through sovereign connections that we begin to say, oh, God is in this. We can see it. I can tell you that it's been rare that we've gone looking for partners. In fact, I don't know if we've ever sat down and went, who could we find to partner with? It feels like God is always bringing those partners to us, always connecting us to them, showing us the open doors. And so we're asking ourselves these questions. Who do we see God connecting us in this season of our church? Where do we see his hand? Where is there a need that God has brought to our attention that we feel we could meet that need as a church? We are generally not looking for projects so much as we're looking for partnerships. That's a huge part of our strategy. Now, we do get involved in projects, but the partnerships facilitate the projects. And so primarily, we're looking for people to invest in multiple ways, not just financially. We are also looking for people that we partner with who can make an impact on you and me as well. We want to help people live their call. But we also want partners who can inspire and impart something to each and every one of us to live our own calls. I can tell you that behind every partner that we have, there is a unique story. I don't have time to share them this morning, but every partnership has a unique story of connection, how God brought that to be. When it comes to our international partners, we have always looked for what we would say are strong apostolic leaders. We are looking for those key people in those countries who already have real influence that we can come and help resource and just pour gas on their fires. We feel like those kinds of partnerships also can open doors for our own people to get involved as well. You know, over the years when my dad was the lead pastor, he was introduced to some key people in various nations who were connected with him, who began to ask him for his help, and our church for our help. P.B. Thomas in India, one of our partners, Peter Kasarivu in Uganda, another one, were two of these people. My dad played a significant role in helping them develop their own networks in those countries. And we saw that we could help them do more effectively what they were already doing. Doug Paradise in Vietnam became a very strategic partner in the early days. And there were many trips into that country back in the days when the church was hidden underground because of persecution. And we helped them build their networks and encourage their leaders. And those partnerships began to have other spinoffs and doors opened to Nepal, now working with RAM. We met Francis and Adrienne with Father's Heart Mobility in Uganda through that partnership. We met Rachel and John working in northern India through the connection with PB. Our partnership with Peter Kasarivu ultimately led to the starting of Lift Evangelistic Ministries, which has led teams from this church and led thousands to Christ and continues to expand into the nations. These are but a few examples. Anatoly and Glenn Pagayo are presently today in Vietnam working with relationships, all started with Doug and Kim Paradise that we continue with. Also, right from the beginning of Global Impact, we have always supported a couple planting a church somewhere. And we've been key contributors to starting a church in Edmonton, a church in Calgary, Conception Bay South in Newfoundland, and now in Spokane, Washington. As those churches get on their feet and become self-supporting, we would let them go and God would bring us another couple to get behind. This next year will be our last year supporting Spokane. They're very close to being on their own. And after that, we'll see what God is doing. But can I share with you a big vision that I have? I have a vision that instead of finding another couple out there to partner with and plant a church in Canada, I have a vision that a couple is going to arise from this church that we will send out somewhere in Canada. Can you pray into that? Can you ask the Lord if he's stirring in you? A dream of mine is that we would raise money through Global Impact Celebration and send out a team somewhere in our own nation. That would be cool. I want to give away some of our best people for the sake of the kingdom of God. One of the partners of the Global Impact is our own Lift Evangelistic Ministries. I want to talk a little bit about that as I close today. As I mentioned earlier, Lift came to be largely due to our partnership with Peter Kasirivu in Uganda. Peter heard me preach at a pastor's conference 11 years ago, and he saw something in me. He saw an evangelist in me, and he invited me to come and preach a crusade, which was the fulfillment of a dream and vision God had given me as a young man. And that initial invitation turned into a significant ministry for our church. As it became clear that we were to start something official, that it was more than just me going one time, that God was calling us to start a ministry, I sat down with our eldership team at the time to ask them some straight up questions. I asked them these questions. Do you see evangelistic ministry as part of my personal call? Because I'm the lead pastor of Harvest City Church, and this would be adding something to what I'm already doing. If so, was this ministry to be done on the side, sort of my own thing that you would bless me to do, separate from Harvest City Church? Or was this to be a ministry of Harvest City Church, something that God was birthing in our church? And if this ministry was to be a ministry of the church, how would it be funded? These were some big questions. And in it all, I promise you, I was submitted to the eldership team of Harvest City Church. All the elders were adamant to me that they believed God had called me to this ministry, had called Anatoly to administrate it, and that it was to be a ministry of Harvest City Church. This is bigger than Joel Wells. This is a call on this church to the nations. And they saw that as God had used my dad's teaching and apostolic gifts to open up the nations to us as a church, that God would do the same, but this time through my evangelistic gift. We believed that not only would God use us in the nations to preach the gospel, but as we brought teams of people from our church into the nations with us, that those people would bring back something to this church as well, which has happened. Funding it was always the interesting question. We all realized that Lift had the potential to funnel away resources from our other global impact partners, and we wanted to make sure that would never happen. I can tell you I've been overly paranoid about it from day one. Initially, a portion of Lift's budget was tied to our partnership with Peter Kasirivu. He was inviting us every year to come hold evangelistic meetings in Uganda. And so part of the money that we gave to Peter was actually funneled to help support these and contribute to a portion of the crusades. All other money came in separately through personal donations and from other churches who came on board to support us. Every crusade that we've done has needed miraculous provision, and God has provided. We need it again this summer, I promised you. Lift was not a global impact partner on its own until just recently. And the way that came to be was that Peter Kasirivu actually sat down with our leadership team and he challenged us that it needed to be. He said, I do not understand how one of the most significant ministries that you have into the nations of the world is not celebrated on your celebration. It makes no sense to me. And I said, well, it's because of me. I'm the pastor. I don't want to, I don't ever want to be seen as this ministry funneling stuff away from global impact. He rebuked me. He rebuked me. He sort of challenged our eldership team that we needed to think about this, to get past some of that stuff. He said, this needs to be celebrated with all the other things your church is doing in the nations. And as we prayed about it, we felt like, yes, what are we doing? Of course it does. It's because of this ministry that God has opened up Pakistan to us. Now this summer, Tanzania is a new place. We'll be doing our first crusade in Nepal in the spring of April 2026. We will be the first crusade in the history of the world in that city. Because the doors are just beginning to open in that nation. Fishing in an unfished hole. I like that. We're working with RAM, our partner in Nepal, to make that happen. We're planning to bring a team of people from this church. You want to come? Let us know if you're interested. You can go climb Mount Everest when the crusade is over. God has used this ministry to help other churches and Lifelinks get into the nations as well. And because of it, the Lifelinks leadership team has given me an international portfolio as I'm part of that team. As God used my dad's teaching gift to open doors, he's used my evangelistic gift in the same way. In Tanzania, Anatoly and I will be working with a ministry out of Saskatoon, another new connection called Beautiful Feet, to help mentor and equip them in crusade evangelism as well as we're exploring more future connections into the future. Lift Now has its own portion of the budget to make things cleaner and clearer. But it works very much with our other international partners to help them and expand the and preach the gospel in their own nations. Finally, this year at Global Impact, we are adding Joel and Hannah Dumain and their ministry in Quebec as a special project with the goal of exploring future partnership. Again, we are sensing the leading of the Holy Spirit here. Diane Harrison has gotten connected with Hannah through Rachel Hickson and others to help give help in the prophetic in Quebec. Hannah was invited to our prophetic conference here 1 year ago. We had her share just a few minutes on the Sunday, and there was such a connection. Many of you came to me in that Sunday and said, we need to get behind her and behind this ministry. I've had several Zoom calls over the this last year with Hannah and her husband, Joel. Joel's becoming a good friend. We find we both love golf, so we're figuring out how we do golf and ministry at the same time. Clearly, the Lord is in this. They lead a ministry in Quebec called Generation Unite, and it's equipping and training leaders all across the province. God has given them a passion to see revival in Quebec, one of the most unreached parts of the world. And they're pushing into it, and they're looking for partners to get behind them and help them. We feel like it so much fits our vision for Canada. And so we've started a process of exploration further. Joel and Hannah are coming to Africa with us this summer. Both Uganda and Tanzania. They said, I shared some stories. They said, can we come? We just want to learn and come be a part of it. See what God's doing. I said, sure, we'll have you headline in our pastors' conferences. We began to talk about the fact they've been looking for some opportunities for their school, which is growing to over 100 people from Quebec now, to have some real hands-on experience in the supernatural and the power of God, and exploring whether maybe some of their teams will join us in the future. I'm going to go to their conference in Quebec in September. We've already booked them in to be in our church in October. We've booked them to be at our Global Impact Celebration in 2026. And if we feel the go-ahead to go all the way as partners, we'll launch that in the spring of next year, 2026. Again, we see that God is up to something. We feel it. We sense it. We're about to have our 19th celebration. Some have the partners have changed, and they will continue to change over time. But the mission never changes. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit remains our priority. Answering the cry of heaven is our burning passion. We want to be a church that says, Lord, here we are, send us. If you want to know more about our partners, have a look at the wall as you leave. Can ask us about them. Come. Block off April 4 to 6 on your calendar. It's going to be another significant impact weekend for us as a church. Are you blessed? Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I'm asking today that what began so sovereignly 18 years ago would remain a burning passion for this church this year and in the years to come. For as long as we are a church, that we would have your heartbeat as our heartbeat. That your passion would be our passion. That your mission would be our mission. God, I pray that you would continue to stir each and every one of our congregation about the call that you have on their lives, how they can fulfill their call in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be a church of doers, a church of responders, a church of goers, a church with a burning passion and vision to reach our city. God, help us to be more effective in reaching our Jerusalem, our city, our nation, and into the nations of the world. God, I pray that we would have volunteers and workers and ministry people in all those spheres. God, if you're truly calling us to plant a church in our own nation and wanting to raise up people and send them from this church, then God, would you move by the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you speak to people? Would you begin to stir people with this vision? Would you help us in doing it, oh God, in Jesus' name? Lord, we pray for what you're doing with Joel and Hannah in Quebec. God, would you anoint those guys? And God, if this is truly a God-ordained partnership, I pray they would know it and we would know it. And that, God, it would just become obvious to all of us, oh God. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you do something powerful this weekend? In 5 weeks, would you burn in us again and again and again your call and your passion? I thank you for 18 years. What we've been able to do. I thank you for all those who have volunteered and sown financially, sacrificially, who've gone to the nations and who are going to places in our city and laying their lives down. Lord, bless them, strengthen them, pour into them. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great rest of your day.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.